Middle school CEO says parents have no right to know about co-ed locker room. Tony Sanders, the chief executive officer of school district U46, which serves 40,000 students in Cook, DuPage, and Kane counties in Illinois, has declared that a middle school locker room is henceforth co-ed. He has declared from on high that a student who wishes to be the opposite sex may use whichever locker room his or her heart desires. Even more troubling, Sanders has further declared that no parents in the district may be apprised of the fact that their children may be sharing a locker room with an opposite-sex student. If it weren't for one courageous school board member, Jeanette Ward, who alerted the community to this arrogant decision on the part of the administration, parents would still be unaware of the practice that took effect on September 6, 2016. Opposition to co-ed restrooms and locker rooms does not constitute hatred of those students who suffer from gender dysphoria. And opposition to co-ed restrooms and locker rooms is not solely or centrally about the physical safety of students posed by close encounters of the undressed kind, although by high school such risks are not nil. Rather, opposition to co-ed restrooms and locker rooms is driven by a recognition of the arguable assumptions embedded in and promoted by such practices. In other words, allowing co-ed restrooms and locker rooms depends on first accepting a number of controversial ideas about biological sex. Further, allowing co-ed restrooms and locker rooms necessarily means teaching those underlying ideas to all students. Practices and policies teach. For example, such practices teach all students that feelings of modesty and the desire for privacy when engaged in intimate bodily activities have no necessary connection to biological sex. Co-ed restrooms and locker rooms teach all students that subjective internal feelings about one's sex take precedence over biological sex in even the most private spaces. Such practices teach all students that in order to be compassionate and inclusive, they must share restrooms and locker rooms with persons of the opposite sex. Attorney General Loretta Lynch has told girls the truly wicked lie that their desire not to share restrooms and locker rooms with boys is tantamount to the refusal of white racists to refuse to share restrooms with blacks. While many parents teach their sons and daughters that they should leave a restroom or locker room if an opposite-sex student enters, schools now teach them that leaving would be hateful and bigoted. In a Facebook statement, Tony Sanders explained his feckless decision, and I quote, "While the vast majority of transgender students in our schools prefer to change in private, the needs of each student are addressed on a case-by-case basis. State and federal statutes prohibit districts from releasing information about any student without parental permission. If we provide information regarding a student that would lead to the identification of the student without parental permission, we would be in violation of the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act and the Illinois Student Records Act. As such, administration will not share with the school, with a school community, if a transgender student is utilizing the locker room of his or her choice. Any student who does not feel safe in a locker room or restroom should immediately contact the school principal. Schools can then work to address any concerns and, if appropriate, find an alternative location to address privacy or safety concerns." End quote. Sanders must be kidding. He's exploiting the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, FERPA, and the Illinois Student Records Act to rationalize not telling parents that their children's privacy will be invaded by an opposite-sex student. If these laws, which were passed in part to give, quote, "parents the right to have some control over the disclosure of personally identifiable information from the education records," end quote, are now used or abused to allow school administrators to prevent telling parents that their children will be sharing restrooms or locker rooms with opposite-sex students, then the laws need to change. School administrators can make parents aware of the decision to allow co-ed restrooms and locker rooms without giving student names. Withholding a general notification about the end of sex-segregated restrooms and/or locker rooms violates the rights of other students and their parents. Here are a list of questions that should be posed to your favorite teachers, school board members, and administrators. Do you believe children who wish they were the opposite sex or believe they are have the right to use opposite sex restrooms and locker rooms? Do you believe students have a right to use restrooms and locker rooms with only persons of their same sex? Do you believe that parents have a right to know if their children may be sharing a restroom or locker room with opposite sex students? Why should girls who are uncomfortable sharing girls' restrooms or locker rooms with a biological boy, formerly known as a boy, be forced to use other facilities, as CEO Tony Sanders has suggested? Should gender-fluid or gender-non-binary students be permitted to choose on a daily basis which restrooms or locker rooms they want to use? If policies that prohibit discrimination based on both sex and gender identity are applied to bathrooms and locker rooms, on what basis could schools prohibit a non-gender dysphoric boy, that is, a normal boy, from using girls' restrooms or locker rooms? If schools argue that he can't use girls' facilities, this boy could point out the inconsistency of allowing another boy, the gender dysphoric boy, to use the girls' facilities while prohibiting him. He could also claim that since allowing a boy who identifies as a, quote, trans girl, end quote, to use the girls' facilities while prohibiting him, a, quote, cis boy, cisboy, end quote, they're discriminating against him based on his gender identity. Does physical embodiment as male or female per se have any meaning relative to modesty and privacy? Why is it acceptable to allow a boy who wishes he were a girl in the girls' locker room but not the girls' shower? Should objectively female students who, quote, identify, end quote, as male be permitted to use urinals in boys' bathrooms using what are called stand-to-pee devices? If not, why not? Should an objectively female coach of a boys' swim team who identifies as a male be allowed in the boys' locker room while the boys are changing and showering? If not, why not? Should an objectively female swimmer who, quote, identifies, end quote, as male, but has chosen not to have top surgery, be permitted to wear a boy's Speedo for swim practices and meets? If not, why not? Should an objectively female swimmer who identifies as male and has had a double mastectomy be permitted to change and shower with the boys? If not, why not? If all the boys and their parents are okay with her changing and showering with the boys, would she be permitted to do so? Staff and faculty routinely use student restrooms. Should male teachers who pretend to be women be allowed to use girls' restrooms? Should biologically male teachers who, quote, identify as women but choose not to take cross-sex hormones, cross-dress, or have any surgery be allowed to use girls' restrooms? Do you believe teachers should be commanded to use opposite-sex pronouns when referring to students who reject their biological sex? Since pronouns denote objective biological sex, and, therefore, such a command would be requiring these teachers to lie, would you, as a teacher, comply? If you can get your school leaders to respond to these questions, their answers will likely reveal several things. First, their answers will reveal that our public school leaders have not thought about the ramifications of the ideas embedded in the practices and policies they are already implementing. Second, their answers will likely reveal the inherently contradictory nature of the leftist ideas they are implementing. Third, these leaders will inadvertently reveal what they do in fact believe about objective, immutable biological sex and its meaning, which is that biological sex is the source of feelings of modesty and the desire for privacy. The central concern about co-ed restrooms, locker rooms, and showers is not about the risk of sexual assault perpetrated by boys who identify as girls or claim to, though that risk increases in middle school and high school. The central concern is the abandonment of any recognition of and respect for the deep meaning of objective biological sex. Leftists are persuading or coercing public schools to treat subjective, internal, disordered feelings about biological sex as if they are of greater importance than objective immutable sex. One of the many troubling lessons I learned from working in a well-respected public high school, which is Deerfield High School, for a decade and sending four children through public school, is that few public school teachers, administrators, and school board members are deep thinkers. That is not to say they're not intelligent. Rather, they rarely think critically about their own assumptions or about the logical outworking of ideas. In fact, they become downright angry if pressed to think deeply about ideas, particularly ideas that challenge their usually unchallenged dogma. Another critical issue that I hope becomes evident by thinking through these questions is where these chuckle-headed ideas, practices, and policies, which are embraced by foolish administrators, teachers, school board members, and parents, or tolerated by cowardly administrators, teachers, school board members, and parents, will ultimately lead. They will lead to unrestricted co-ed restrooms, locker rooms, and showers everywhere. Eventually, there will be no more privacy curtains in locker rooms, no more separate showers, no more accommodations of just a few gender dysphoric students. Those who prefer not to rock boats, including the leaky boats their children are sailing away in, assuage their darn prickly consciences by saying, oh well, it's just a few confused children, or oh well, they're taking cross-sex hormones and are going to have surgery, so they'll look like the sex they're pretending to be. What these cowardly boat steadiers don't realize is that, quote, trans activists, end quote, and their political enablers like Barack Obama don't think transgender persons need to cross-dress, take cross-sex hormones, or have surgery. And by the way, having top or bottom surgery does not transform women into men or vice versa. In the alchemical and doctrinaire leftist cosmos, a trans person doesn't have to feel distress about their biological sex. All that's needed for a person to be trans is their claim that they feel like the opposite sex, or both sexes, or no sex, today. The logic of leftist arguments necessarily leads to the end of sex segregation everywhere. Don't dismiss these changes in practices or policies as trivial or as affecting only a few students. These changes affect all students, and they are profound. In fact, these changes are the portents of the most radical cultural revolution in modern history.